All right, welcome everyone to the IHC Amer Group monthly MCO call for November 10th, 2021. We'll get started like we normally do. Just a brief review of the informational letters, because most of you probably were on our previous call where I went into a little bit more detail, but just want to talk about what's out there to make sure that you are looking for the right things. Info letter 2278, which is the 2021 provider quality management self-assessment that needs to be completed by all waiver providers by the end of the year. This is the same thing that comes out every single year. So you're probably and likely aware, but just wanted to make sure you saw the IL 2278 for that notice. Another one would be if you're a Medicaid. You're all Medicaid providers more than likely, but if you are a high utilizer of Medicaid, like over $5 million, you have to do an annual submission regarding prevention and detection of Medicaid fraud and abuse. This is another annual update that you're required to do if you utilize that much Medicaid and that you need to complete. So I wanted to make sure that notice was out already as well for you to complete. IL 2281, which we'll talk about here a little bit into the call, but it's the HCBS provider specific rate changes and managed care claims. This is for the HCBS 3.55% increase. And I think this is specifically talking about lesser of logic and the applicability and the waiver of the MCOs choosing to waive some of those requirements for a couple months. And like I said, we'll talk about that here a little bit into the call. 2283 is the virtual town hall meetings. Those are meetings we've plugged every for the last few months because they're very helpful, very informative, very similar to these calls actually, but they're hosted by the Department of Human Services with leadership and leadership of the managed care organizations as well are present and answering questions as they can. So very good call as well. 2021 annual provider training is IL 2285. So this is the, again, annual training done by IME in conjunction with the MCO partners. They'll have a presentation as well. I think this is next week. And so you'll need to register for those events through that informational letter, IL 2285. IL 2286 is grant opportunities for waiver agency CDAC providers. And so this would be a lot of you. And so if you are a waiver provider, I would definitely look into that informational letter 2286 that was released on the 4th of November. I definitely get an application for that grant. I think the funds are needing to be spent by the end of the year. So you'll have a month and a half or so to get that completed. But definitely check that piece out. That will be in the bulletin, I think, this week, giving a little bit more details about it. But 2286 is the informational letter. A lot of times, if you're looking for something like that, you can honestly just go to Google, type in Iowa Medicaid informational letter 2286, and it will probably pull right up for you. So I definitely look into that as well. I think that kind of wraps up the info letter piece that I wanted to talk about today. I'll flip it over to John and his team to see if you guys have any opening remarks that you'd like to make before we jump into questions.
I have a couple of opening remarks and we can go into the pre-submitted questions, which I think one of them pertains to the first question in the chat. So I just want to put that marker out. The public health emergency still is a major influencer of the overall climate in which we operate, which includes a lot of the state plan amendments that the state of Iowa pursued in 2020 that are still in effect that allow some flexibility and adjustments in availability of certain services. Ongoing collaboration with IME, Iowa Total Care, and Amerigroup in collecting information about vaccination rates among Medicaid members, and tracking to some of the goals and requirements that the Iowa Medicaid enterprise is attempting to achieve in mitigating the pandemic environment. And that cascades throughout our entire plan, up to and including how we operate. We are still operating in mostly a virtual environment, with the exception of our LTSS case community-based case managers who have transitioned to face-to-face case management, with exceptions if members are not comfortable or other exceptions in utilizing full PPE measures in conducting those regular case management meetings with our, particularly with our waiver folks. So that is continues to be a big focus of the state and therefore of the managed care organizations. I think in the first couple of questions, I'll address, movement in the EBV space. As a MERA group approaches the end of the year, we're tracking to the implementation of some of the new laws that the legislature passed, and that we're getting guidance from our state customer on. And the final thing is we're tracking to any potential repercussions that the federal social safety net legislation that Biden administration and Congress is attempting a bipartisan brokered agreement as it relates to the potential for some assistance with direct care worker retention, recruitment, training, and et cetera. Not sure if that's going to stay in, but that's something we definitely are tracking to. With that, I don't know that we have a ton of other updates from the health plan, but as we move through the questions, I'll encourage all of the associates representing Amerigroup, if you've got something you want to do as an update as it relates to your functional area, please take an opportunity to do that. Normally at this point, I kick it to all associates for other updates, but because we have so many, I'm going to narrow the focus and first ask Danielle if you have any updates from an Amerigroup standpoint that you want to share at the top of the call.
Hello, everyone. This is Danielle. Unfortunately, I have nothing, no new updates to share today.
Okay. And I'm just going to pick Cherie as the tenured representative at P&E. Is there anything you wanted to share at the top of the calls relates to the provider experience team? And you're speaking on mute if you're speaking.
Hey, it's Megan. I'll just jump in real quick. I don't have any really updates other than we do have a new map that's coming out. It should be posted shortly. We have 4 additional reps for Iowa. So that should be on our website really soon.
So, Megan, in adding 4 additional reps, how would providers on this call know who their new rep is if they have a new rep before the maps get posted?
They can reach out to whoever they've been working with and we can direct them. Or, I mean, if they have a question on their rep in general, they can reach out to me and I can get them to the right person too. I'll put my email in the chat. So if they
that's
don't
perfect.
Know who it is. Yep. If they don't know who it is right now, I can get you there.
That's perfect. I appreciate that call out. And Katie, I hate to put you on the spot, but I just wanted to check in really quickly to see if there's anything front of mind in the LTSS UM area that you would want to call out.
No, nothing that
okay.
jumps to the top of my mind at this time.
Okay, that's great. And then Angela, Dylan, is there anything you wanted to try to call out at the top?
Yes. Before the meeting, I had just asked our outpatient UM nurses real quick if there was anything that they're seeing with authorization requests coming in that I could address that maybe would help things go smoother so you guys get your authorization back without too much difficulty or phone calls needing to be made. Some things they're seeing is authorization requests coming in, asking for maybe an entire cert period, like the 60 days without a plan of care, which we can't approve all of that. You know, there is that provider update that went out about the 5 visits at the start of care that don't require pre-cert. And if that's, you know, if you want those pre-certed, then would need to send in an auth just for like some eval visits, maybe for example, so you have time to formulate your plan of care, and then that would need to be submitted for the rest of the cert period. So if you submit it otherwise, asking for, you know, a large number of visits without a plan of care, that phone calls or faxes that will have to be sent with questions. Also for our chronic wound care, we do need to have measurements set in for those because we are tracking our wound care members that are chronic, making sure, you know, that they're getting appropriate care or if any referrals need to be made for them. So they will be calling for measurements if you don't send those in with your request, like from the most recent visit. Let's see. Also, PRN visits are not able to be prior auth. So those, like if you send in, you know, a new request or your recert visit and you add those into the already ordered visit frequency, we can't approve them ahead of time. Just go ahead and send those in, you know, as they happen. And we approve the retro dates for those PRNs as long as they're within either the cert period or shortly around that time. I think that was about it.
All right. Thank you all for your updates. We'll move into some of the questions here. We only had a couple or a few submitted ahead of time, and then we can flip into the chat. I'm sure that the team is probably looking at those chat questions now, and so I'd you know, encourage you to check those out, and as we get to them, you'll likely have some kind of a response probably formulated there. John, did you have anything that you wanted to add before we jump into questions?
No, I don't. I just want to say that I appreciate all of the updates from the Amerigroup staff team. So I think we're ready to jump into the questions.
Cool. Thank you. So this first one is kind of a technical reimbursement or claim payment related question. And it's talking about the client participation that's applied to facility claims. And this is specifically talking about when there's changes in the level of care. So whether they're nursing facility, ICF, or custodial care, and then flipping into hospice, the breakdown between the client participation amount changes, and it changes especially as rates change too. And so there's been some problems, I know, at least with this provider, to where the CP isn't being allocated correctly, and it ends up messing up with the payments that the hospice is receiving or that the facility ends up receiving. And like I said, I know that this is a technical related question, but wasn't sure if anyone from Amerigroup was privy to that information as to how that should be flowing and if there's any known issues or fixes in place to capture those changes.
So I did check with our operations people, and we haven't seen that this is a known issue across the board. It would be really good to see claims level information to see what's going on in the instance that has been presented by the questioner. We suppose that it could happen, but it could also be that IME retrodates client participation. So that's why it's helpful for us to have the claims level data to really know what's going on there. And so I'll stop there.
That makes sense. this has been, and I said this on our, this is on our previous call as well, this has been kind of a clunky process, I feel like, even prior to managed care, where if you're splitting CP for a resident in a facility, and then especially if you have, you incur a rate change, which we have obviously done since 7-1, it then ends up having to reshift all those client participations that were split between custodial and hospice. And that would happen for every single one because every facility received a rate change back to 7-1. So, or in 7-1. So yeah, I agree. There's some, definitely some retro. If I'm not, can't recall who submitted that question, but if you are on this call, if you could give me some kind of a claim ID or a couple claim IDs to maybe send over for John and the team to look at, I think that would be helpful. The next question is on informational letter 2281. That's the waiver claim submission. And I think, you know, at least for our group of providers, this really comes into play for those who are submitting their claims through EVV or through CareBridge. And I know that, at least through their feedback from them, we're not able to select the rate in which those claims are submitted. And I think, which is probably the impetus behind the informational letter, which it sounds like representatives from Amerigroup partook in the creation of. And so I just wanted to, I guess, ask the question of when will the 3.55% increase be implemented for those claims that would be affected by this? I think is the general question. And then any feedback that you guys may have on the creation of that that process and, you know, how it's supposed to flow.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Iowa Total Care and Amerigroup collaborated with the IME in drafting it. The claims are in process already, and the providers should not need to resubmit anything. There is a significant volume, just want to note, of claims that are already in process. And by the 16th of November, we believe that many of them will have been reprocessed at that point. The remaining that aren't will need to be manually adjusted. So we'll know more about the full, you know, fully completed claims adjusted project at that point. The claims we're reprocessing pay up to the new allowed amount of inclusive of the 3.55%, and will be for the service dates for July and August of 2021. And the process after that, anything after that, that hasn't been submitted with the higher charges is still the responsibility of the provider. So we could see that many providers have already submitted increased charges on corrected claims already, but many had not. So if you had not, you know, anything past, July, August, you'll need to submit an adjusted claim, corrected claim.
And then I guess one follow-up I may have is there any chance that the 3.55% increase would have not been in by the end of August? So like if there are providers who are using obvious EVV, I guess is what I'll use, or CareBridge, if the rate isn't in there for them after August 31st, that would still, we can't really do a corrected claim on that. So I guess this, the question becomes, are we sure that all the rates were in by the end of August? So that way we know that starting in September, any EVV claim will be paid at the increased amount, or has been paid at the increased amount.
The information that I have is that all of the rates that are inclusive of the 3.55% are loaded in EVV.
Okay. And so thank you for that. If there are any providers who have been getting paid since for September, or probably not yet for October, but if you got paid for September dates of service, and if they weren't at the increased amount, we may need to flag that for the team at Amerigroup, just so, because I know this IL runs through the end of August. just to make sure. So if you have anything or any specific examples, providers on the call, we'd love to have those just to be able to flag for the team over there to make sure we can get it all flowing correctly. So.
Yeah, and I'd imagine if it's pinging for, if there's an issue on Amerigroup side, it's an issue on the Iowa Total Care side too, since we use the same EVV vendor.
Right. Correct. Yeah, I would agree with that. Cool. All right. So we'll flow into the questions that are in the chat, because that's actually all the questions that were submitted prior to the call. This question is about the 252 denial issue and about any kind of solution to correct that 252 denial, if there's anything in place yet or in the works.
I'm going to kick it over to the provider experience team or Danielle. If you know of anything that's in the works, this is not an issue that I'm aware of.
This is the 252 is the denial for not having a EOB from another payer. So it's that lingering one that's been ongoing for several years.
Hi, this is Danielle. I haven't heard anything new, you know, happening, you know what I mean? Any new upkeeps or, you know, means has been happening with this denial. All I can have the providers do is either dispute them, on your own or follow up with your representative to make sure that the claims were billed correctly. There have been times where providers thought the claims were billed correctly, but they were not. So I suggest you have the claims, you know what I mean, reviewed first to make sure they were reviewed correctly. What I did mention before in other calls, I cannot submit projects, but I can assist with providers. So if you have claims that you can send to me, I can look at them to see if they were billed correctly. And then you can, you know what I mean, move on to determine if you want to dispute the claim, reach out to your rep so I can, you know, do that assistance.
Thanks, Danielle. This next question is in regards to a hospice claim, saying that they submitted a hospice claim and they were denied, saying that this revenue code was not listed for reimbursement. And this would be a covered hospice benefit. They sent in a provider agreement in with their reconsideration and it was still denied. Is there any thoughts from anyone on the Amerigroup team on what maybe the provider should be submitting to show that this is a covered service? I wouldn't imagine that this is the first time that they would have submitted a claim with this revenue code on it. And so to have one random one deny seems kind of out of place. So Danielle, you have any comments?
I would need to see the claim to actually see what's happening. I'm going to put my email address in the chat. So I can, you know, I mean, they can email me and let me look at it and see exactly what's happening.
Okay.
Cannot give a general answer until we see what, you know, what's happening on the claim.
Okay. No, that's fine. Karen, if you could put some kind of claim ID in the chat or submit it specific, I probably not put it in the chat, but send it to Danielle's email when she gets that in there, if you don't already have that email. This question is, what is the update to the claims rejecting that needs a HIPS code for home health? The claims rep via customer service can't send them back for me, and our reps they're having problems with their reps responding. Any thoughts on the HIPS codes that are rejecting?
Once again, we need to, you know, I mean, we need to see it. Like I said, I can assist to review the claims. So that'll be, you know, I mean, to help you out because the reps, you know, I mean, are busy, you know what I mean? So once again, I can review the claim and look at it to see, was it a billing error or was it an Amerigroup error?
This is Peyton from Virginia Gay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Peyton, we can hear you.
So we originally talked about this issue last month's call, and I know several other providers were having this issue as well. And it's because these members have Medicare and Medicaid through Amerigroup, that it's triggering requirements for Medicare, but we're not submitting to Medicare because they're home health patients. And so I have sent them over to, I guess, multiple people at Amerigroup and haven't heard back. The claim numbers, the specific patient, the reps were supposed to send them back, and we're not getting anywhere.
This is Cherie. Let me tell you just a process update that we just learned of in the last couple of days, and it's going to help with fixing these situations that have dual eligibility. And that is, we actually have a mechanism in our escalation process, and we have some emails that we will be able to cross-reference Medicare, Medicaid issues. So that's all new information to us. So if you have some things that are pending, I would expect that now that we have the resource to be able to, look at a claim and have, both sides of it reviewed, that we'll be able to, get some of these types of situations cleared up for you. So whoever you're working with, I would suggest you reach back out to them, because that's some new information that has just come to our teams.
I guess I'm not sure who to reach out to, because I kind of take the approach of anybody in my contacts or Amerigroup, I end up sending it to at some point because we never hear back from anyone.
Okay, so I apologize. I'm going to look up in the map and see who is covering Benton County at this time, and then I will let you know who you need to reach out to.
Well, it should be Robin and Ben. And
okay.
I know before it was possibly you. There was a Cherie.
That's me.
And I've reached out to multiple people and never hear back.
Okay. So we have, as Megan started at the beginning of the call, that, we do have a new map, and we have been doing, other coverage on areas that we normally don't cover. So I apologize genuinely if you did not get a response due to any confusion in that process, but we have our new people on board, so we'll be able to get that cleaned up. And as I said, we have some new information about being able to cross-reference these between the Medicaid, Medicare system, and that will help with resolution. So okay. I apologize for the inconvenience, but we will be able to get that help to you.
Well, I know when we discussed it last month, several other providers kind of jumped in with the same issue. So is this a recognized issue that's being worked, or?
I'm not familiar with the specific issue in the chat, but what I'm familiar with is that, it has been difficult at times to navigate where there's dual eligibility, because we only see the Medicaid side of it. But now that we have the resources to be able to address both directly have, I don't want to say instant response, because nothing is ever super instant, but that we can have, immediate communications back and forth on some of these issues, that we'll be able to clean them up and get things fixed and be able to identify root cause, to get to the bottom of a permanent fix on any of these things that aren't working. So I wish I had more information, but I only have information about process. I'm not familiar with that issue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I just see some kind of comments coming in. So I guess my last remark is that this issue started in July, at least for my member. I'm not sure about other providers, but with these claims being rejected, they're not actually even coming back into my clearinghouse as rejected. They're coming back as accepted. So the only way that I know is if I call, but then we're going to be running into timely filing here in like January. And I am really not up for that battle. But they're not showing in your guys' system because you're rejecting them for Medicare requirements.
So we do have a proactive rejection reporting process, and so I'm going to take note of that. I'm taking notes from the meeting today, but I'll take note of that. But in the proactive reject process, whether Ben, Robin, whoever you're reaching out to and addresses this issue, which like I said, I'm going to also give people a heads up. But we'll be able to look at those reports, and those reports are available immediately. If it is rejected on the front end, meaning it never made it into our system, then we would have to order a report to identify those and see, what the problem is. But there are processes in place to be able to address that reject issue. And it's not uncommon that a payer would submit and would see on their, you know, screen that something was submitted successfully, and then it rejected. And so that likely tells me, although I don't want to, you know, say that for sure until I see a report, but if they're seeing that it was accepted, that probably means that it did cross over into our system and was rejected on the back end instead of on the front end. So, but those are all issues that we can detect in doing the resolution process. And so we just need to coordinate those pieces. And so I'm taking notes from this, and I'll make sure that I pass those along and we get the right person hooked up with you.
So is someone going to reach out to me?
I'm going to reach out and let people know that this is a pending issue, and if someone could reach out to you, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peyton, for the additional feedback, and Cherie. And it does sound like, you know, it's not just a Peyton problem. There sounds like there's other providers who are experiencing this as well. And so I don't know if Cherie, when you're making the outreach to Peyton's provider experience individuals, if it's more of a general update to all provider experience individuals, because it sounds like that it's affecting far more. And then I think the other piece of this is maybe where we're struggling, I guess, with the disconnect is, if I'm understanding right, it's people who have the AmeriVantage plan and also have the Amerigroup Medicaid selection as well. And those are individuals that are being denied for this HIPS code. And in our head, we're thinking these are both Anthem or Amerigroup products. So, you know, you should know that this is what's happening. And maybe I'm speaking out of turn on that, but I think that's maybe where our disconnect in our head is how don't you know that this person is on the Medicaid program instead of using their AmeriVantage benefit, I think is the thought behind that.
And thank you for, you know, clarifying that issue, because you're absolutely right. But please remember that the system is an electronic system, so it comes in and it hits a computer system, unless, of course, you know, some claims do get manually touched. And so there's a tracking process, and so a claim is jumping to the wrong spot. And so then it's going through a different set of logic, and it's getting denied. And so that was one of the reasons why I thought it was important to kind of jump in and let you know that we do have, you know, processes, and that information has just come to us, but we do have new processes that we're able to, you know, directly be communicating with the people who are servicing the Medicare side so that we can fix these kinds of glitches. And then just to back up, I did take note that this seems to be, I'm not going to use the word global, but this seems to be a multi-provider issue. And I am taking note of that, of putting that in the notes so that we make sure that we're addressing it and can reach out. But if anyone on the call also has the problem, please, you know, identify and listen. We will have a meeting on Thursday, so I'll bring this issue up with our team on Thursday. So if there's anyone on the call that is having the issue, if you contact your rep, you know, after our Thursday morning meeting, then everyone will be aware that this is an issue that we need to address with our providers.
Thank you, Cherie. I appreciate that. So I'm flipping through the chat still. This is a question about, it says AmeriCare. I'm wondering if that's AmeriVantage product contract addendums. Should providers be receiving those addendums to review and act upon at some point? I would assume, and it probably depends on the county as well, but Daniel, do you have any comments about the AmeriVantage contract addendums?
Let me get myself off mute, sorry. So I guess contracts were sent out for home health providers, new contracts with AmeriVantage. If you did not receive one and you're interested, please email me and I could just draft a separate contract for you guys. There were no changes to the original contract. We just added Medicare Advantage. No changes to any reimbursement.
Thanks, Danielle.
And I think there's a note I see in the chat about a hospice claim. They sent it to me back in, there was a project done, so maybe that project was not completed. So resend me those claims so I can review them. But if they're going to have to be reprocessed, it's going to have to go to the rep. But just resend me the claims to let me review them to see. see maybe some of the claims reprocessed, some notes, but like I said, I can review the claims before we get your rep involved because I understand, you know, I know they are extremely busy.
Thanks, Danielle. This is a question about responses from provider representatives or provider experience. And the question is, if a rep isn't specifically assigned to a provider reaching out, why couldn't they at least direct the provider where they should be reaching out instead of just not responding at all, is the question.
This is Cherie. That is our process. And if you know, we've had a situation where something's fallen through the cracks, you know, we genuinely apologize. We would just ask you to recognize that we were down at one point in time, 5 staff people. And so the remainder of us were covering the entire state. And so, you know, we're only so many people. We did the best we could. And I genuinely apologize. But we have our new people, you know, up on board and they're getting up to speed on their new providers and, you know, what issues are going on. So please, if you have anything pending, you know, from this last 2 months, 3 months that, you know, we've been just overloaded, please reach out to your rep and we'll get things taken care of. And so, again, we apologize for any inconvenience, but, you know, we did the best we could with the resources we had at that time. So, again, we thank you for your patience.
And you know what, this is Danielle, and I just want to step in and add that I always, you know, say this in every call, that Antha made this change, you know, when we went to this provider experience team, but I just want the providers to know, and it's not an excuse, but to know that these representatives are handling all provider types. So it's not just home health, you know what I mean? It's home health, it's hospice, it's physician, it's FQHC. So like I said, it's not an excuse, but I just want you guys to know the volume that these reps are handling. So, you know what I mean? It's taking them time and it's going to take them time to get up and running to handle all these different provider types. So I just want everybody to know that, you know what I mean? It's a lot that they're doing.
I also, just to put people at ease, you know, if we have been slow in a response and you're worried about any time frames, you know, we will recognize if we've missed something or, you know, if, you know, we missed not recognizing that somebody was a provider that we needed to be addressing. And, you know, we will address that with a waiver of, you know, timeliness, especially if it's on, you know, our error. So please, you know, again, just reach out to your rep and we'll get anything cleaned up that we need to. And we do have processes in place to handle anything that may be approaching any time frames. So please don't stress about it. Let's just work together to get things done.
Thanks, Cherie. And I think that's probably in regards to the a comment based on one of the last questions that are in the chat there. But I guess if we are coming up on a time frame issue with claims that are either denying or inappropriately denying or paying incorrectly, what would a provider use to, you know, prove that the effort's been placed on our behalf or on the provider's behalf to try to get it fixed and it was missed or fell through the cracks on, I guess in this case, Amerigroup's behalf? Is there something that they should be keeping to be able to show that?
No, we all know, you know, the volume that we've been dealing with the last couple of months. And so if we've made an error, we're going to own that. That's not a problem. You know, but if somebody's got email communications, you know, voicemails, we share voicemails with each other if they go to the wrong place, you know, but we do have some online processes. And that's one of the things that, you know, concerns me because we do have some new online processes for people who are trying to, you know, add people to groups or, you know, do some, do some enrollment issues. And those systems, you know, people are making some assumptions about when they put their name into those systems. So that's kind of concerning. Because of the nature of your providers, there's probably not a lot of that. But, you know, just keep track of your emails. And like I said, if some provider contacts the rep and says, hey, I've been reaching out for you for 2 months and, you know, it's fallen through the cracks. Believe me, we're going to own it and we're going to fix it. So, you know, we're all working in good faith. It's been a tough couple of months and we appreciate everyone's patience as we work through that.
Thanks, Sheree. One question I also see in the chat here is in regards to coinsurance. And I know we brought this up several times and I know this provider has as well with their provider reps sending examples and elevated also to Julie with some of those examples as well. Is there any end in sight or fix that will be in place for these? I know that they're also trying to work with cost containment to get some of this but figured out, but I'm not sure if we need to have a more global discussion about coinsurance and applicability of coinsurance. And, I think it says something that these are overpayments to providers that they're trying to send back and just wanting to be paid accurately or not paid at all in many of these instances. So I don't know if we need to have like a more global conversation around coinsurance again, because we're just trying to return money to Amerigroup that we should not have been paid to begin with. And there's a concern about if we were to just cut a check that those would eventually be recouped. And there's instances where they have that we would then be out twice the amount. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
This is Sheree again. We have two different forms that we kind of share with providers, and one is for them to schedule a recoupment, meaning that they schedule their own offset. And then the other one is for a form that they can then write a check and send in the money that, you know, for an overpayment. And the only thing that I would caution on is that you need to keep track of if you send a check in, because there is a little lag time for the check to be loaded and, you know, loaded to the system that it's paid. And so I don't really see the double payment, you know, the double recoupment. The double, if you repay, I don't really see people getting recouped. That's not really been the problem. But what I do see is providers coming back and going, hey, my check hasn't been cashed yet. So you just need to be aware that there is a lag time for the process to catch up. But there are those two processes, and we have forms that we regularly, you know, send out to providers. And in addition, on our new provider website, I'm not sure when your last meeting was, but we do have a new provider website that's, you know, been totally revamped and looks very different and is much user friendly. And those forms are also available on the provider website.
Sure. This is Leilani Davis with Good Samaritan Society. I can tell you that we have used your forms to ask for recoupment. We've also refunded checks, and it's taken Amerigroup 6+ months to apply those refund checks. And in the meantime, we have a recoupment when we've refunded something in August of 2020, and you guys don't cash it until February of 2021. We've also had issues where we've refunded things in an audit and then it's later recouped. I mean, like, the issues are endless. So the suggestions you're giving are suggestions that we've tried and don't work. And I've brought this up in every single MCO call, and I've lifted up to my provider rep. I've emailed Julie Spear. It's just a continuous issue that I can never get a straightforward answer on, and that you guys like avoid answering or even looking at. And it's a majority of our issues, and we work with our provider rep, or we fax the recoupment request to CCU, and then we have to wait 6 months. And then finally, I have to reach out to the state and file a complaint, and then finally something is done. It's just really time consuming and frustrating, because I know we're not the only provider that has this issue. So what does it take to get someone from Amerigroup leadership to pay attention to what we're saying and implement a fix for it?
I think that the processes work. I have acknowledged that there is a lag time. I'm not seeing 6 months, but I'm not disputing that you may have had the experience of 6 months. Okay, so if you sent in a payment with the form and you did that process, and then you got a letter saying you're going to be recouped, if you reach out to your rep, or if you, there's, you know, language on the letter that you received that tells you how to appeal the recoupment, if you would notify them that you have mailed in the payment and, you know, address, enclose your form and a copy of your check, then that would stop that recoupment process, or your rep can assist you with that process.
Right, we haven't gotten any letters before recoupment happens, and I'm letting you know that we're still working with Amerigroup to get funds back on checks that we've refunded and you guys have recouped. And we've been working on this for about a year now. So it's a very long process. And again, back to the original issue, why can Amerigroup not implement a fix to not pay these claims when they shouldn't be paid to begin with?
So let me just say, there may be other things that are happening here. And, what I would suggest is I'm going to put my email in the chat. And if you would contact me, then I'll link with whoever the rep is. But, you know, we need to check mailing addresses. We need to check other things because you should be getting a letter for that type of a recoupment. And we just need to make sure that the processes that are in place, you know, are correctly in place. And then I do believe that the process would work. But if you've got issues that are not resolved and they're out there pending, then let us address those. And so let me get my email in the chat and then you can reach out to us outside of the meeting and we can cover the issues. And then once I learn from your situation, I will put notes again in the notes that I'm keeping for this meeting. And maybe we can come back to the next meeting and we can have an update on anything that we've found in regard to these issues. And maybe there's something that needs to be tweaked. At this time, I've followed up these situations. They're not easy to follow up. I will be the first one to say that because they are handled at the corporate level and you do have to identify, you know, who is actually handling them. But once we have a situation where there is a possibility that there could be, a double take back of the money, meaning the provider has initiated a process and then we've initiated a process, I have been able to intervene and get connected with the right people at corporate and get that process stopped. So I know the process can work, but let's figure out why it's not working for you.
Sherry, I'm. This isn't an issue for us any longer because we won't refund anything to Amerigroup. So I honestly, it's not an issue for us going forward. My issue is your claims are paying when they should not be. And it creates a lot of work for my staff to continuously follow up on these claims, try to fax something to CCU, never get a response, then try to get our provider rep, which it's not her fault, but things never get reprocessed. So it's my issue is not the us refunding and you recouping because we've already decided that we won't be doing that anymore. It's you guys are paying claims that you shouldn't. And that's what I'm asking is at what point will Amerigroup put in a fix in your system to not pay these claims that you're paying, like Medicare Part A coinsurance claims. You guys are paying these claims and you should not be paying these claims. You guys are overpaying Medicare Part B claims that you should not be overpaying. That's my issue. We've already addressed the issue with the refunds of getting recouped. So I need someone to address a fix for this.
And I would tell you that we would probably need to see claim examples, as Danielle's also indicated, for other issues, because it depends on each individual situation of, you know, why that would be happening, whether, you know, there was a crossed claim, whether it was manually processed and, you know, the manual processing person needs education. I mean, there's a number of different variables that go into it. So if you would want to forward some claim examples, we could review those and we could then see what we need to do. Because your administrative time is important. We understand that. And your administrative time, you know, has value to it in terms of cost. And likewise, it's rework on our end. So if we have something that's a glitch or something that's not working, believe me, we are dedicated to getting it fixed because it's rework on both sides. So I'll get my email in the chat and then let's connect and we can go from there.
Thank you both for your comments there. And I don't know, Cherie, if I can work with you to maybe get a point person on coinsurance. I'm sure that there's an individual within Amerigroup that may have a better understanding of coinsurance, or if it's fee schedules that are attached to coinsurance payments, or if it's rules in the claim process that determine whether, because I don't think every single coinsurance claim is being paid. I think some are, and there are situations where it should be paid. If the rate that's being paid from Medicare after coinsurance is taken out is less than what you get from Medicaid, you should be recouping a little bit, or you should be able to get a little bit from the MCO. So I don't know if we can come up with some kind of point person to continue discussions on this, because again, like you just mentioned, this is admin on the provider's behalf, this is admin on the MCO's behalf, all to give money back to Amerigroup that should have never been paid to begin with. So I may try to work with you on that to find someone that maybe a subject matter expert in coinsurance there. Okay. Well, I think we're at the end of the questions in the chat. I don't have any in my inbox, I don't think. Let me look. I don't see any in my inbox. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch this poll, because I am definitely not a Christmas before Thanksgiving person, but I will also admit that I have a Christmas tree up at my house right now because of my wife. And so just curious if anyone else has any Christmas stuff up already, or if that is just my crazy wife. It is looking like it is mostly just my crazy wife. So I appreciate the confirmation from you all on that.
No.
No, take a look at the poll.
Sorry, Brandon. I have two Christmas trees up and two floors decorated. So.
Okay. Well, so maybe there's just a little bit more crazy out there than not crazy, I think. So. All right. It sounds like we got most of our responses in. I can launch the results. I don't know if it's showing that for you all or not, but that's kind of what we're seeing right now. But anyways, just wanted to end it on a lighter note, but appreciate your time. Appreciate Amerigroup's time for joining us on the call. Obviously, if you're having continued issues, obviously reach out to your provider experience rep. If you do see Cherie's email and this in the chat, as well as Danielle's, I know. And I think Megan also put hers in there for all different issues. So if you have questions or comments, or were directed to make an outreach to them, please do that. And hope everyone has a good rest of the week, and we will talk to you all next month. So thanks everyone for joining us.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.